You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hello, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, October, September 22nd.
Wow, do not rush it.
Yeah, I know, it's fast enough.
Well, when you were, I can't remember if we talked about this on the show last week, but you just read something or heard something the other day that the entire planet was 2 degrees warmer over the summer, except for Western Canada. Did we talk about that last week?
Yeah,
we did touch on that.
Yeah.
So we are into single digits, and there's even been a couple of frost warnings over the past week or two. We're in unseasonably cool temperatures right now. Like normally this time of year, our part of the world is, the leaves are starting to turn, but
it's still
it can
warm.
Be 14 or 15 degrees Celsius during the day, which is very, very pleasant. I mean, that's a slightly cool summer day, but it's a beautiful fall day. And we are nowhere near that. We've even been single digits during the day a couple times, overcast a lot, rainy a lot. But it looks like the forecast, we might even get up to, I think, 23 degrees Celsius over the weekend. So
nice.
Hello.
That's a lot better.
That's exactly a lot better. We had been worried about our water lines freezing in our motorhome, and now we may actually have a little bit of time to get that done, which is good.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a lot of time. So, unless you've been living on Mars, this is one of the largest premiere weeks TV this week. We have not gotten to anything yet. I have lots on the list, including a couple of the new shows, The Event and Hawaii Five-0. We touched on those last week a little bit, I think. I had intended to try and catch those to be able to chat about them this week, but we'll talk about them next time. So next week we'll talk about Hawaii Five-0, The Event, and anything else we come across that is of note, fall TV-wise.
Yes.
But what else is going on? Kids are back in full fall swing. So school is back on. Connor is swimming. Emily is dancing up a storm. We may have mentioned this already, but at some point, but I'm going to get back into scuba diving.
Yes.
So no Taekwondo anymore. I was at my black stripe, so one level away from my black belt, which people probably say, but you were so close, why did you stop? But the learning curve between and the amount of work and memorization between now and my black belt is so high and so significant, I just don't have time. I don't have the time. I don't have the mental capacity right now with work being as busy as it is.
You don't know anyone with an explanation.
I do.
No,
I feel I owe everyone an explanation.
You really don't. You just don't want to do it anymore. End of story.
By the way, lots of people, so I'm getting back into scuba diving, talked to Connor and Emily about it, and they are both interested. So there's a Discover scuba class they can take, which reminds me, I must phone and see when we can get them into that. We should do it sooner than later.
We really should.
Wow, what else is going on? What else is going on? You are looking for a job with more work, with more hours. So either the store that you work at now, you want to get some more hours there, or you've applied on a bunch of other stuff.
Yes.
I'm sorry if I smell like peanut butter.
No problem.
I've eaten peanut butter. I enjoyed it. I get home from work, and I just didn't have a great lunch today. Had no lunch, really.
So yeah, that makes you hungry.
Need a little protein hit.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show for this week, everybody. In case you weren't sure this was View from the Couch, it in fact is 3.5 minutes into it. What did we do this week? Wow. I've been, let's just start with Couch Entertainment News.
Good plan.
So I have a new approach I want to take. Talk to the people for a minute. I just need to make a note of something.
He wants to take a new approach. I really don't know what it is, but we're going to find out momentarily.
And I'm back. What I think I'm going to do is I will read the news, and then we'll talk about each little thing if you feel like there's something you want to say.
That sounds like a good idea.
That's good, because I think you hate reading it. So, screenwriter Carl Ellsworth, who wrote Red Eye and Disturbia, will pen the screenplay for the first live-action film adaptation of the R.L. Stein book series Goosebumps for Sony Pictures. The Goosebumps series comprises more than 50 books that often pay homage to classic sci-fi and horror movies. Previously, Larry Karaszewski, I'm going to go with that. And Scott Alexander attempted to adapt the material without much success. So, interesting. Our kids have never read the Goosebumps series, mostly because they would be scared out of their little minds.
Yes.
Connor said to me this morning, I forgot to mention this to you, as I was getting ready to leave for work, he said, "Dad, why does Halloween have to be so scary?" And I said, "Well, therein lies the inherent appeal of it."
And why does he have to dwell on it so
yes.
much? That's my question.
Yeah. So Connor would prefer Halloween were just candy.
Yes.
No dressing up, no going out, no nighttime, no ghosts, no nothing. But you know what? I keep telling him this. When I grew up and was about his age, about 8 years old or so, I was split right down the middle. I loved spooky stuff, which explains me now. I just adore that kind of stuff. But the other half of me was petrified of it. So I would have trouble going to sleep. Things would scare me. So, yeah. So I just said to him, "We're going to purge all the Halloween content from your life this year. So you might watch The Great Pumpkin." Maybe even The Great Pumpkin would scare him now. I don't know. Connor's in this stuff scares him phase. So.
It's very strange. But anyway.
Filmmaker Alex Proyas, who directed Knowing and The Crow, has signed on to direct a film adaptation of, interesting, John Milton's epic 17th century poem Paradise Lost for Legendary Pictures. The classic poem deals with Satan's fall from grace, his temptation of Adam and Eve, and the first couple's subsequent banishment from the Garden of Eden. The adaptation reimagines this story in a Hollywood-friendly, action-oriented way, which could possibly be shot in 3D. Oh boy, I love 3D.
Lovely.
So what do you think about that? Classic poem turned into action adventure.
I think that's really cool.
It's interesting.
I've never read it, and I wish I had, and maybe I will someday soon. I think it'd be really neat.
You should have married an English major. Oh, wait.
You know, actually, the reason I have been thinking about it lately, too, actually, because the series of books I've been reading,
yes.
City of Ashes, City of Stones,
City of Glass.
Yeah. She quotes him and talks about that poem a little bit
cool.
in her books.
And speaking of that, I just bought Michelle the hardcover of the prequel to that series, which is called Something I Can't Remember. And no,
it's
that's not the actual title.
Clockwork Angel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Putting in an appearance at the Toronto International Film Festival up here in Canuck Land, filmmaker Guillermo del Toro spoke with Collider about two of his upcoming film projects, the H.P. Lovecraft adaptation At the Mountains of Madness and the 3D Haunted Mansion reboot. Haunted Mansion will be a PG-13 and will be, as he says it, a dark ride. So if you know Disney terminology, that's all their indoor rides. The story was turned in last week to Disney Pictures, along with the first few key concept drawings. Very cool. Matthew Robbins is penning the script and will begin working on it in about a month. And then the studio will make a decision in January, which is when Del Toro will decide whether to direct it himself or let someone else take on the reins.
Can we talk about that one?
What's that?
That one you just read.
Oh, yeah. Please do.
Any chance of seeing those concept drawings online anywhere?
I don't know. I could look. Why don't I look?
Well, you don't have to right now.
I won't look right now, of course.
You should look, too.
I will. Yeah,
not you,
people.
Them.
Them. Those people. You people across the microphone.
Yes.
This is super cool. This is super, super cool. Sacha Baron Cohen has closed a film deal to play, ready, Queen frontman Freddie Mercury in a film about the late lead singer for GK Films.
That would be cool.
Super cool. I'm tired of his goofy characters. I'm really tired of them. Really, really tired of them. King Julian, great character, nice voice work. But I'd like to see him do something serious because I think he's got the range. And forgive me if I'm missing something serious that he's already done. But
is he a look like the guy from Queen?
Oh
at all?
Yeah, oh yeah. I'll show you a picture.
You never see him. He's very
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Well,
and he a little bit. Yeah, he's a shy kind.
Because you know all the Madagascar movie extra feature stuff. There's everybody's all the voice actors are on there,
he's
but not him.
I don't know why. So writer Peter Morgan is currently working on a script, and that'll focus on the band's formative years leading up to Queen's appearance at Live Aid in 1985, which is considered one of the all-time great live concert performances. And I guess that means of any, so not just for Queen. The project has also scored the rights to include the band's tunes, though it's unclear where Sacha Baron Cohen will sing or Mercury's real vocals will be used. I don't think anybody could reproduce Freddie Mercury's range or vocal skill, so I honestly hope they don't try it. I mean, it worked well in the Line of Fire, but In the Line of Fire? In the Line of Fire is a Clint Eastwood action movie. What am I talking about?
Walk the line.
How does that... It had
they
in.
Both
they
line.
Both have in it. And line. Yes, I think there's some great work done there by the actors, but I don't think that always works out that well, so we'll see.
And Freddie Mercury's style was even more distinct than Johnny Cash. So.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to a song by Muse the other day off their most recent CD, and it just really struck me all of a sudden how much it sounds like Queen.
Well, maybe he can do the vocal. But, I mean, if they're going to have... No, never mind.
SBC. With the Harry Potter film franchise coming to an end very shortly, Warner Brothers Pictures is planning to ramp up its planned film adaptations of DC Comics properties to fill the void. Speaking at a financial conference, Warner Brothers CEO Barry Meyer said there will be an organizational announcement next week. And from when I read that, it should be sometime this week or maybe early next.
An organizational announcement.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm on pins and needles.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
I can't wait for that one.
Is that firing or a dental plan? Sometime next month, the studio will unveil details of how the various superheroes will be reintroduced to consumers via more than just feature films. So lots of other things they're thinking of, I guess. Brian Fuller, behind one of the forces behind Dead Like Me and Pushing Daisies, both great shows, as I understand, but I've never seen any of them, has been selected to pen the script for a live-action Pinocchio feature for Warner Brothers Pictures.
Live action?
Yep.
That sounds dumb.
Yeah. Carlo Collodi's Adventures of Pinocchio was first published in 1883. Wow. Though it's most well-known for the Disney animated feature adaptation. Dan Jinks is producing and claims to have, quote, found a fresh approach that's going to be very entertaining. It'll be a boy made of balsa wood. No, it won't. He cited the success of Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland as an inspiration. So let's remake a whole bunch of old stuff. That'll be what... Oh, wait, they've already done that. And again, and again, and again, and again.
Yeah.
Give me a break. New stuff, new stuff. I want the new stuff. Writer Anthony Peckham, who wrote Invictus and Sherlock Holmes, has been picked to pen the script for the next entry in the, excited about this, Jack Ryan franchise at Paramount Pictures. Chris Pine, I didn't hear this, remains attached to star as Ryan, the intelligence officer turned action hero of Tom Clancy's novels and four previous films. This film serves as a prequel or reboot and tells of young Ryan's early career working in Russia. They hope to have filming kick off later this year or early next year. Harrison Ford is Jack Ryan. The prequel thing kind of bugs me, too.
You know, why didn't you do it in order in the first place?
Yeah. Well, they haven't even done it in order of the books. They've just cherry-picked the books.
Well, that's just dumb. It's their own fault, then.
Ouch.
Prequel. I think somebody made that word up, too. I don't think that's even an actual word. Some big wig in Hollywood decided they needed to come up with some fancy word for meaning something we forgot to tell you in the first place.
I didn't know you had so much film anger.
I find it very irritating. Prequel. It's not even a word.
Well, the problem, I mean, there is no such word as quell.
No.
Well, yeah, you can quell. Yeah, you can, actually.
Yeah, but
you
it's not.
Stem the tide. But,
So this is pre-stemming, then?
Oh, I don't know.
It still doesn't apply.
She's very angry, folks. Australian engineers are building a deep-sea vessel so director James Cameron can use the Pacific for the sequel to the 3D film Avatar. Cameron is preparing to dive to the deepest part of the ocean, the bottom of the Marianas Trench, 11 kilometers down in the Western Pacific, after he decided to set the film in the turbulent waters of Pandora, an alien moon.
Good grief.
The vessel will be fitted with 3D cameras, yes, you know, designed by Cameron so he can take unprecedented footage of such depths, and, if he wants to, later on fill it with digitally created monsters for Avatar 2.
I'm sorry.
The
good grief was not about the 3D. It was about the stupid bottom of the... What is with him in the ocean? Why does he do these dumb... Why?
Well, he's also coming up to northern Alberta, just probably 5 hours from us, at some point to meet with the premier of Alberta to say...
Oh, the tar sands thing?
Tar sands, oil sands.
Whatever.
Yeah, just to say, I don't like this. He's going to come. I can't remember. I think we talked about this at one point. But what I'd like is for Cameron to come up and say, you know what, I'm Canadian, I have a lot of money, I care about the environment, let me help. Rather than wagging his finger. But I mean,
maybe that's what'll end up happening.
The bottom line is
why underwater again?
I was talking. The bottom line
you
is that
you changed the subject.
The bottom line is that we have to wean ourselves off of fossil fuels, which is never going to happen.
No.
So
I don't. It's just he's had. We watched something, or we read his book. That's what it was.
Yes.
He's had nothing but nightmares and stress and frustration.
Making films
that involved water, like The Abyss,
Titanic, and he causes other people nightmares and frustration who work on his films.
Yes, so why is he doing it again?
Well, he's not. This is just him in a little submarine, so he's not taking a whole bunch of people.
They're not going to actually film the movie down there.
No. He's capturing this footage.
Well, that's a little better.
Well, Michelle takes it all back, Jim. WB has announced that the full trailer for the forthcoming Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 will be released online at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, that's 9 p.m. Eastern, on Wednesday, September 22nd, which is
today.
When you're listening to the show.
So as soon as you're done listening to the show, you can
go and find it.
Go and do that.
Don't shut us down now. Hey, get your hand off the... Wait, nope. Yeah, go and check it after, smarty pantses. Ooh, I sounded like all smarty pantses.
Yes,
I hates them.
Where's that letter?
Where's what letter?
Do you have the letter?
Oh, I don't have the letter.
Our fan letter.
I don't have the letter. John Landis.
From where?
I'm thinking not the director, though. John sent a note, which is clearly all about you.
That's why I want to read it.
I know. I'm going to paraphrase it and take out all the you parts. No.
Then there will be nothing to say.
Thanks for your feedback, John. John said he agrees with Michelle's perspective on Despicable Me. I think you said you hated it.
No, I didn't, but...
Also, what was the other thing that he said?
Angelina Jolie in Salt.
Yes, in Salt. Yeah, he said he also, like Michelle, has trouble with the Angelina. We know too much about Angelina and her real life, and so to suspend disbelief to watch her play a character like
any character,
Salt, yeah,
anymore.
It's all messed up.
It is.
So and John also said thank you for doing the show. He said I'm sure it takes time and effort, and we appreciate it. He said we, so that was nice. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
We appreciate. See, I find that View from the Couch listeners are like Canadians. We don't say a lot, and we're usually pretty quiet and humble, but when we do something, gosh darn it, we're very happy and kind.
Yes.
So there you go.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. John, thank you very much. So, as Canadians, we don't generally carry firearms, so if you make us really mad, we'll just get kind of annoyed and won't talk to you for a while, but then it'll be okay.
Yes.
So we
did a Disney Vault-ish.
We did. Disney Vault-ish. Yeah, it is Disney Vault-ish. The Disney Vault. Okay, so, you know, we're supposed to be technically working from back in the day to more recent, but we leapt forward because... this past weekend, the kids and I watched
Prince of Persia.
The Sands of Time.
But it's not so much vaultish as just Disney.
Yeah. We can't have a non-Disney vault Disney vault.
I know. I'm just saying.
So yes, it is a Disney film, and while we are putting it under the Disney vault umbrella, it's not technically fitting the format, so kill us. Sue us.
That's right.
Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time is, of course, based on a video game, directed by Mike Newell, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, and distributed by Walt Disney Pictures. The film is based on, most people listening will know this, the 2003 video game of the same name, developed and released by Ubisoft, a company, video game producer, who's done Splinter Cell and a bunch of other great games. They're based in Montreal, Canada. Film stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Gemma Arterton, Ben Kingsley, and Alfred Molina. So a great core cast of those four. All the supporting actors are fantastic as well. Now, how is it? Watched it with the kids. Connor, Connor's so funny because he's a film skeptic almost all the time. We sit down to watch a movie and he goes, "Meh, I don't really, I'm not really interested in that."
Yes.
And then I always tell him, you know what? 10 seconds into this, you'll be hooked. And then you'll be talking about it afterwards. You'll be wanting to play video games based on it. You'll be wanting, are there books? Are there toys? Are there stuffies? What do I need? I need everything. So he yes. quite quickly immerses himself into a universe and did not fail me this time either. Connor and Emily both enjoy it very much. I found it... I liked it, and I wanted to like it more, but I found that it was pretty thin. I felt like it was action set piece linked to action set piece by relatively thin character development. Some corny humor, which was pulled you right out of the time period. One thing I will say, though, is that Ben Kingsley and Alfred Molina especially are fantastic. And in a lot of ways, they make it hard for Gemma Arterton and Jake Gyllenhaal to hold their own. Because they're technically, well, especially Gyllenhaal, he's technically the lead in the film. And Ben Kingsley and Alfred Molina just chew up the screen and the scenery when he's around. So, when they're around. Very cool special effects and some cheesy ones. So, it was hard because some of it was really great. And then other part, like... all of the stopping time stuff with the dagger was very cool. Very neat CG stuff. But then there was just bizarre effects that just kind of threw you out of the story. It's interesting. The other thing, too, I guess, is that there's no doubt in your mind when you watch it that it's intended to be the start of another franchise a la Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't think it's going to make that.
No. And, you know, I didn't see it, but just... knowing Jake Gyllenhaal and the kind of actor he is, I couldn't picture him playing that role even without having ever seen it, and it doesn't surprise me that he didn't rock it.
You know, to his credit, speaking of rocking, to his credit, his English accent was watertight.
Yeah?
I think I've said over the years of doing the show that there's nothing bugs me more as an actor myself... and as a film buff and a reviewer and all of that other stuff, then you know what? If you can't do it, don't try. I can respect Sean Connery, Scottish accent, Russian sub commander. Okay, give me a second to chuckle, and I'm good. I'm good. I'm in it. You got me. I'm good. Give me a partial accent that fades in and out. No, nope. Don't even try. If you can't do it, I'll respect you more in the morning if you don't try.
I hear you.
But I don't know if he's natural at accents or worked really hard with a coach, but it's watertight right through, no problems. He worked out seriously because he is buff and he fits the role in look. But yeah, he feels like he's too small for the role. I mean, not physically, just... And I'm not saying he's not a good actor. He's a great actor, but he doesn't really quite have the chops yet. Now,
no.
Who would I recommend?
And it's not even
I don't know.
His personality, like
no.
The roles that he's played, he tends to play a quiet, sort of laid back, kind of quiet, shy sort of person.
Yeah.
I imagine that is partly how his personality is as well. And to
maybe
try and come off big and roar on the screen, kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just couldn't picture him doing it, so it doesn't surprise me that it didn't quite make it.
Yeah, not out of the park. So. Yeah, I don't
kudos
know.
Kudos to him for... I mean, I can't do an accent to save my life, so...
As we all know.
Yes.
Ooh, you just did a bit of one there, and you didn't even mean to.
No.
One of the coolest things is at the very end, the closing credits, theme song for the film is Alanis Morissette.
Ah.
So, I don't know... Most people know who Alanis is, but that was cool. The song is amazing. The film received, as our... reaction would indicate, generally mixed reviews. Rotten Tomatoes reported 37% of critics have given the film a positive review based on 205 reviews. And Michelle has to go.
I do. So I'm just going to say goodbye.
Okay.
Kent will wrap it up.
Michelle has to go and I'm going to close things off.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Michelle has to take Emily over to dancing. So
see you later.
See you later. Thanks for visiting.
Have fun.
Okay, we will.
Be good.
I will. Okay. Okay, everybody, she's gone. Now we can... No, forget it. So Rotten Tomatoes has kind of said 35% positive review, which isn't great. An average score of 5 out of 10. That's kind of crappy. Metacritic has kind of 50 out of 100. Again, right in the middle. Roger Ebert gave the film 2 stars out of 4 and said, the two leads are not inspired. I would agree with that. Jake Gyllenhaal could make the cover of a muscle mag, but he plays Dastan, the character, as if harboring Spider-Man's doubts and insecurities. He's too... That hits it right on the head. He's a little bit too emo for it. So I don't know. The plan was, again, as we talked about, to make a franchise. Is that going to happen? I really don't know. But you know what? The film's ultimately earned almost $91 million in the U.S. and Canada, and $244.5 million in foreign countries. Total worldwide gross of $335 million, making it the highest-grossing video game adaptation to film ever worldwide. Previous record holder for that title was Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. And it's also now number 10 on the top highest-grossing films of 2007 worldwide. Still seen as an underperformer at the box office, though. But, you know, it was just released on Blu-ray and DVD last week, so that remains to be seen. I'm sure families will be slurping that up and getting copies of that left and right. So the home video market will probably be really great. So there you go. So that's been View from the Couch for this week, Wednesday, the 22nd of September. So get out and enjoy the fall weather. And as we mentioned earlier, we will connect with some of these new fall premieres, some of the new shows like The Event and Hawaii Five-O 2010, and give you our views on that next week. So everybody have a great weekend. As I mentioned, enjoy the fall, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.